And welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, and also known as the podcast of the Word is the Way to Life. Jesus is the Word manifested in the flesh, and He shows us the way to life. Now, we've been doing this little study on the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and he gives us an awful lot of wisdom about life. So, we are up to chapter 12, which is the last chapter in our study. But we're only going to read today the verses 1 through 8 in chapter 12, and then next week, make sure you tune in next week, because he gives us the conclusion of what it's all about. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and no longer enjoy living. It'll be too late then to remember Him. When the light of the sun and the moon and stars is dim on your old eyes, there is no silver lining among the clouds. Your limbs will tremble with age, and your strong legs will grow weak. Your teeth will be too few to do their work, and you'll be blind too. And when your teeth are gone, keep your lips tightly closed when you eat. I love Solomon. Even the chirping of the birds will wake you up. But, I love the buts and the ifs, but you yourself will be deaf and tuneless with a quivering voice. You'll be afraid of heights and of falling, white-haired and withered, dragging along without any sexual desire. You'll be standing at death's door as you near your everlasting home. The mourners will walk along the streets. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and your spirit will return to God who gave it. All meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. May God add His blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of what Solomon was talking about. You know, as I read that words as an 80-year-old man, frankly, the years have gone by all too quickly. And as I look back, I can see the wisdom of what the teacher's appeal was. And he says in verse 1, remember your Creator in all the days of your youth. Solomon finally lays his cards on the table, doesn't he? And today's passage is an extended appeal stretching over 7 verses, followed by a conclusion in verse 8. Now, I think it's the most emotionally charged section of the entire book. It's persuasive force, reinforced by a series of powerful images. Verses 1 through 4 depicts a house that has come on bad times, and it's about to be struck by a storm. The doors are barred, and everyone is quiet, waiting fearfully for the storm to break, and these verses are also a metaphorical picture of old age, darkness, and depression. Trembling limbs? Yeah. Few teeth? Yeah, I don't have as many as I originally had, that's for sure. Failing sight? Oh, yeah. And then he notes of dismay and despair and apathy and dominant things in our life that we take for granted. And then in verse 5, he refers to the white hair. Almond blessing, some translations talk about. And the slow gait of an old man. You know, like the grasshopper. And he also suggests nature's indifference to old age. The flowers are fresh as ever. And grasshoppers continue to jump about. And verses 6 and 7 consist of 3 images. First, a golden lamp suspended by a silver chain. ruined beyond repair when the chain snaps. And then he gives the image of a pitcher on a pulley by the well. Again, this whole mechanism is broken, and finally the hopeless image of dust and a departing spirit. Life. These are pictures that we can create, but life's fragile, isn't it? Life can be delightful, isn't it? Yeah, but then there will come a time when our powers fail and our horizons shrink, and life then also contains much that is routine. You know, like lighting lamps, and drawing water, and working around the property, and doing things that you do every day. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed, get up in the morning. But, I love the buts. For even the most routine tasks, there'll come a last time. That's something to think about, isn't it? Even the most routine tasks that we have, they will come for one last time. And then we return to the dust. Now, I think this ultimate reality of our last years and the end of our lives, because unless the Lord comes for us first in the rapture, we're all going to experience this thing that Solomon's talking about, and that's death. But the teacher describes them in a grim and poignant detail. It is the light of all of this that he tells us to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And what's he talking about? I think he's telling us as readers from the heart, think how you will live your life because it'll be over soon. So to conclude this, I think Solomon's repeating his opening motto, the merest breath, everything is a breath. But now, having worked through his discourse, we have a better idea of what the motto means. Life is breath. In a sense, it's particularly laid out well in chapters 11 and 12, but life is also puzzling, isn't it? It's hard to make sense at times. Life may be frustrating and marked by futility, but none of this implies that life as a whole is absurd or meaningless. On the contrary, there are foolish and wise paths in life, and it's virtually important that we choose our path well, the path of life that we want to go. We need to choose well. And how we start that journey is by acknowledging our Creator and following His ways that we may have life and more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I've been on the wrong path for a long time. But I think I'm on the right path now, and I think I am wonderful, grateful that Solomon has given me some things to think about. So the question for all of us is this. Why do you think Solomon ends his words with this powerful and sobering picture of old age, here I am, Lord, and death? I think that maybe we need to acknowledge the fact that of our mortality, that one day we'll have to endure this infirmity and then finally death. Unless, I love the unless the Lord comes first in the rapture. Yeah, people go, oh, that word rapture not in the Bible. Well, yeah, it is. It's in the Latin Vulgate. You know, when we got the 66 books, they didn't include some of the things, and the word rapture is interpreted from a Latin word, and there it is. Anyhow, if you want to agree with the rapture, okay, because I think there's hope there. But if you don't know, and you know, well, that's okay too, because one day we will find out. And in the meantime, I want to have that blessed hope that Jesus is coming for me before I die. Now, maybe he won't, but that's okay too, because I know where I'm going, because I finally chose the right path. So how can you prepare yourself to deal with these things? in a way that honors God and encourages others. It's our responsibility, that's for sure. And nobody can do it for you. We like to think, well, maybe somebody can help me along the way, but no, no, no. Open your heart and receive the gift of eternal life. That's what Jesus promised us. And we can have it through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just lets us have that wonderful, wonderful blessing of having God in our life, in our spirit, as our spirit connects with His spirit. Well, I can go on. But I hope and pray you're enjoying the study in the book of Ecclesiastes. And next week we'll look at the conclusion, the last part of chapter 12, and I think you'll be blessed. Well, we do lift up people that we have on our prayer list, and there's always a lot of them. But you don't need a 800 number or a preacher or anybody. You can talk to God for yourself. And if you've never done that, you need to go ahead and start doing it. Even if it seems a little, I don't know, crazy. But God hears. And that's when Jesus was with the disciples. And they said, Lord, why do you go off by yourself after we eat and everything? And He said, well, I need to talk to Daddy. Now, I like to call this the disciples' prayer, but it's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. That's okay. But I think the real Lord's Prayer is over in John 17, because that's where Jesus was praying for you and for me. But He gave the disciples a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with as we pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.